Modabra boy side lessons from the late Parshas Yisro and Tu B'Shvat. As promised, I would try my best to learn a little bit about Kabbalah Satorah. This week, we accept the Torah anew. Every single day, we make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Noisein HaTorah. Noisein is the Lashon of He is giving us every single day the Torah anew. We have to respect and understand that every single day, we are getting the Torah anew. Mechadish B'tuvah B'chol Yom Tamid. We receive the Torah anew, and that is something that is extremely important. Moshe Rabbeinu does the most amazing act. The revelation at Sinai is, of course, the pinnacle of the revelations of the Ribbono Shel Olam to the Jewish people. Asher Barcha Banu Mikol HaAmim, what sets us aside from all other nations is the Torah. And it is important for us to understand the importance of the hitchatshus of the Torah, the newness of the Torah that should be with us all the time. And there's a tremendous Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peches Amud Beis, which tells over the story of when Moshe Rabbeinu is about to accept the Torah. And it's a wonderful Gemara. The Gemara tells V'amar Rabbi Yehoshua. The story is told about Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua tells the story. B'sha Sha'Allah Moshe Rabbeinu Lamarim. The Malachim are like, what is going on here? Ribbono Shel Olam, Ma liyulad isha b'nayu? How is it possible, Ribbono Shel Olam? How is it possible that someone born to a woman is among us? Amar lahem, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to them, Lekabel Torah ba. You know why he's here. Let's not play games here. He's here to accept the Torah, right? So the Malachim say, how can a human being accept the Torah that is transcendent of all worlds? Amr Lefan, other Rabbanu Shalom says, Chamuda Genuza. The Torah is Genuza. It's a treasure. How are you allowed to give it out? Teisha miyot v'shimim v'arba doiris kodu shenivra oylam. You stored this treasure for 974 generations before the world was created, and now you're just going to willy-nilly give it to a human being? A human people who, Bisograyim, have not yet really proven themselves. I took them out of Mitzrayim because of Rachmanus, the Malachim know. And but a moment after the sea splits, they complain. Why are you giving this to them? Good question. So the Ribbono Shel Olam answers, how can this be? How is it possible? How can you give it to Masul Adam? Because a pasuk from Tehillim, Ma Enosh, Mitzis Karenu Ben Adam, Ti Tifkadenu. How can this be? So the Gemara continues, the Gemara answers beautifully, that Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe, LaMoshe, Hashem says, give them back an answer. Go ahead, Moshe, go ahead. What are you going to say to them? Ribbono Shel Olam, Amar lefanav, Mesira ani shema yisarfeni, Behevel shel lefaneihem. I'm scared to answer the Malachim HaKadoshim. How can I answer them? I'll be burnt by the breath of their mouths. Amar lo, says Ribbono Shel Olam, Ochaz b'kisei kavoydo v'chazer lahem tshuva. Give them an answer, but hold on to my divine throne. Can you imagine this, Rabbi Sad? This amazing scene that happened. So we'll explain that part in a moment, what that means, how is holding on to the kisei hakavod going to help? But let's continue. He answers them. And he says, Amar lo, he answers Shenamar, and then he answers them. The question becomes, what happened over here? What is the story? Great story. The answer is not so partial what Moshe actually answered them. But what was the Rebbeinu Shalom saying? That you should hold on to my to the Kisei HaKavod, to the Holy Throne. And the Malachim themselves obviously knew what was written in the Torah, and they knew they are not Basar Vadam, and they knew that these things are not going to apply to them, and they knew that they're not going to go ahead and start benching. They're not, because they don't eat food. And the laws of slaves don't apply to them, and the laws of... So what, excuse me for saying, but what was this game? What were they trying to get across? So as usual, the Dubna Magid tells over a great story with a parable. There once was a Rav from a large town, and he was Rav for the town for many, many years. He reached a very long time in the Rabbanus, decades, and he decided to move on. It's time to retire. It takes a good rabbi to be in an amazing city and say, you know what? My time has come. But he's not going to, what is he going to do? He's going to retire and what? You know, move to Miami? No. He wants to become the rav of a smaller town. He'll be a little bit more relaxed, not so many shilas, fewer people, fewer problems. So he writes the next village and says, I'm retiring. Maybe you're looking for a rav. They're so excited to have this halakha rav. Unbelievable. So now he has to make the speech to the community and tell them that he's retiring. And they say, no problem. We understand. You've been our rav for so many years. Not only are we okay with it, we'll even help you pack. We get it. You have to move on with life. So the village, the small village now sends a bunch of wagons to get his stuff, to be mechabed him and show how it should be done. And all of a sudden, when the wagon drivers enter the big town, all the members of the community start heckling and say, get out of here! What are you doing here? Get out of our town! We want our rav! Don't take our rav! They're cackling to them. The elders of the town come out and banish the wagons and say, get out of here. They don't know what to do. All of a sudden, tomatoes start going on the heads of the wagon drivers. They say, this is ridiculous. And they leave. The rav finds out about this. He comes outside with all of his bags and there's no wagons there. He said, what's going on over here? I gave the speech. You were all okay with it. You gave me your shkoyachs. Hey, and now what are you doing? So the town elder said, the elder said, Rebbe, we did this l'tovatcha, for your benefit. We know where you're going. We know the town. But they might think, what's going on over here? Right? Especially in our generation. There's got to be something. Why all of a sudden is the Rav leaving the town? He says the reason is because, you know, he's been there for 50 years. Ah, there's got to be something. Maybe the town doesn't like him. And if he comes with great fanfare and everybody packed him in, and the drivers come in and said, I have to tell you something. I don't know what's with this rabbi, but everybody was kissing and hugging him, and they just loaded him and said goodbye to him. They're going to think this rabbi wasn't really liked. They said, good riddance, get out of here, thank God. Now we don't have to have such a machmir rabbi. Now we don't have to have a rabbi that... So they said, we did this so they'll listen to you in the town. They'll understand, if you will, kasher li prei daschem. It's difficult to have a rav leave. That's why we did this to the wagon drivers. They'll never forget how hostile we were and how much we love and respect you, Rav. And that esteem should continue to the next town. Says the Dubna Magid, the angels knew the mitzvahs of Torah were not capable of them. They were not capable for them to follow. The narrative of the Torah is clearly for human beings. However, they wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to send the message to Klal Yisrael to appreciate the Torah, to appreciate the beauty, profundity of the Torah, the magnitude of the Torah. We're tempted to dismiss it and say it's so easy now. No. They badgered, they harassed Moshe Rabbeinu, like in our story of the wagon driver. Why? So that they'll be able to deserve the Torah and Moshe can explain that the Malachim wanted this Torah. B'nai Yisrael, listen! The Michtel Me'eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Lopian, says, but what was the Zach of, why did he have to hold the Kisei HaKavod? So he says that holding on to the Kisei HaKavod is because Malachim are filled with sanctity and purity. Hashem says to Moshe, hold on to my throne. The angels, the Malachim, can't grasp onto my throne because they have something that is all spiritual. And you have to become spiritual. You struggle for sanctity. Man, quote unquote, born to a woman, struggles to harness his instinctual nature. He's striving to improve himself, to grow and advance himself, to pursue spiritual perfection. And that's when you could, and Dafka Moshe Rabbeinu, who reached that level, pursues this perfection. That's who I'm giving the Torah to. To people who don't take for granted that learning the Torah and all of its toil and difficulty is to reach a state of perfection. That's the essence of the Torah. And that's the difficulty therein of accepting the Torah anew. There's a machlekes in the poskim whether or not you stand for Kabbalah Satorah this week. So there are different shitas, not for now. But one shita says, you know why we stand for the Torah? We're not showing that only this part is important in the Torah. There's only 10 commandments. It's that we're mekabel the Torah new. Really, we should be standing all the time for Kriyas HaTorah. As Rav Soloveitchik says, it's Maimon Har Sinai every single week. We have the schus of reading a portion of the Torah every week. We're with Klal Yisrael every week. Rav Palm says that the current events of the week is dafka that week because it's something to do with Kriyas HaTorah. So we can't stand for whatever reason where a dor chalash, it's so difficult for us. At least by Maman Har Sinai, we stand a little bit and recognize that we're accepting the Torah to toil. Don't take for granted. We want to hang on to the Kisei HaKavod. We are not born pure. We have to become more pure. Yes, it's true. Elokanu Shami Tahirihi, we have a neshama that's tahor. But especially when it comes to men, our inclination is not to do good, actually. There's a Yetzirah Tkifah, as Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that fills us with anger, with ways for us to give excuses to not do and not get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That Torah gets closer to. You might have wondered, or me, non-Hasidish person, maybe wonders more, why is it that people run to get brachas from rebbes or rabbis? What does Rav Chaim Kanievsky have? He's Jewish and I'm Jewish. What does he have? He's, you know, as I like to say to the Mishnah, no, boys. He's not got those heebie-jeebie powers. You don't go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky and he starts to see, you should think that. He sees the future because, you know, he's a great rabbi and that, you know, when you go to rabbi school, you know, once you're almost 100, so then they tell you all the yisoides, the sodom. When you go to Maris HaMachpelah, so you daven to Avraham Avinu, you go to Uman, you daven, no, Chas V'Shalom. We're saying, B'schus, I'm not davening to you, I'm not davening to Avraham, I'm not davening to Yaakov, I'm not davening to Sarah. I'm not even davening to Rav Nachum Breslov. But in his schus, because of the level of Torah, the Amelus that he did, not taking it for granted, that is why and how I'm allowed to do that. When we accept the Torah anew, every single year by Maman Har Sinai, by Shavuos, by every day when we say a Noisin HaTorah, we have to understand what it is to be a Noisin HaTorah, what it is that we were given the Torah and what we have to do. The Yushalmi in Peah, Yushalmi in Peah, Paragimel, Shabbos also, Yud Aleph, says, what does it mean, ki heim chayeinu? It's your life. That toiling in Torah is your life. It's that your life goal, says the Yerushalmi, should be Torah study. The emphasis is not placed merely on the learning of the Torah, But it becoming an integral part of your life, of, like Rabbi Yisrael Salant says, the Shvei Dinim Bed Limud HaTorah, the Shvei Dinim in the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah. The first is to understand the Torah in order to perform the Torah properly. I need to know the mitzvahs. Lishmor lasos. I have to understand what to do. What bracha do I make? I have to know the Torah so that I'm not an ignoramus. I understand what's Zman Kriya Shema. When do I say Kriya? How do I do this, that, and the other? But the second din is a directive to toil in the Torah, to sweat over the Torah. Not as a means to the end in itself, but to make it part of your life. This chiddush in Rav Yisrael Salant, learning of Torah, is that it's part of your life. Like fish and water, says Chazal and Gemara. Famous Gemara that says, Usher Weiss likes to quote this Gemara, we're like dagim bayam, always wanting, staying in the water. Comes the, was it the fox, I believe the Gemara says, and he says to the fish, what's going on? What are you so scared for? He says, look at all the people who are trying to catch me, all the fishermen. I don't know what to do. And you know the nature of fish is that when the water falls, right, when it rains, they run up to the water to get the new water. It's a symbolic of the Torah, the newness. So he feels bad. The flea with the fox says, I feel terrible. I can protect you. I'm strong. Come join me. Come here on my back and nobody will... So as the Gemara says, I thought you were a smart animal. Tipei shata. You're not a smart animal. I can't leave the water. Are you kidding me? I'll die in a second. Ah, Zuya Torah. That's the Torah. The other nations come out and say, come to the movies. I'll protect you. I'll close your eyes during the parts that aren't good. Come join me in my party. You don't have to drink. Don't worry. Let's be friends. No, you have to stay in the water in the Torah. And when new water comes in, when a new chiddush, I want it. I want it. The Ran in the Dorim, and Menachos as well, explains the obligation to learn Torah is b'kol koicha. Why? Because you have to sweat over the Torah. That's what directive is. Directive is. That's why maybe this is a problem. Okay. So when you come 3 minutes late to, you know, shir, because you had to drive your son to school, and of course he doesn't understand what 9:20 means. Okay, fine. And you have to run in, so you just grab the first Gemara and happen to have English, and it says, okay. But maybe this is not toiling. We all have this problem. There are great apps out there, this and that. Toiling. Afterwards you say, I understood Tosfos for the first time in my life. I understood a Tosfos. That's toiling. Not just sitting back and relaxing. Not sitting back and going on our phones. And listening to Shuk. Feed me Torah, Rebbe. No, I'm Elva Torah. And maybe that's the whole point of the beautiful holiday of Tu B'Shvat. Right? Eitz Chaim Hi is the Torah as well. But the eight starts out very, very small. We almost laugh at the eighths when we see it. Say, this is going to be a big tree one day. Are you kidding me? Yes. And there's going to be payrus. You're not going to believe it. And if I plant a lot of them, oh, it's going to be amazing. Okay, fine. I believe you. Finally, you come back a few years later and you see the beautiful fruit tree. And you go up to the Tati and you say, Tati, but what happened? It died, the tree. So what do you mean the tree died? Look, there's no fruit on it. There are no leaves on it. Nebuch, look at it. It looks terrible. Comes to B'Shvat and says, times have changed. This is the time of the year. All of a sudden, the rains, Baruch Hashem, the great rain here in Eretz Yisrael, has fortified the fruit trees. And you just wait a few months. It's going to be amazing. Tu B'Shvat in the middle of the winter reminds us if you're Shana Aleph or Shana Bet or you're returning and learning that in the middle of the cold winter you got to remind yourself Ilan, Ilan, Ma'avah Rechecha that the Peirus Kiyo Kamoyscha there's going to be Peirus The Peiros, you're only going to see it later on. Peiros is going to be at the end of Adar in the beginning of Nisan. And you're not going to be able to eat them until the end of the summer, maybe. That's what you have to realize. Don't give up. Don't give up. This is not just a Shana Aleph thing. This is not just something people listening on Y Torah say, oh, it's not for me. I'm already 40 years old. I don't know. How many people took upon themselves Daf Yomi in their later ages? How many people took Mishnas Yomi? How about Mishnah Berurah Yomi? Are you Amel? Do you sweat over the Torah? Or do you just pick up a book and say, I have to be Yotze Zayin? Sveidina. Am I just Yotze Zayin? I don't know. I'm Amel. This is difficult. I go to a shiur that's a little bit more difficult for me. Because I want to be Amel. I want to understand it. I remember when I made the wonderful, amazing decision that changed my life. Of joining Rav Aaron Salvation Shiur. I give most of the credit to my father, who asked me to try this shiur. I'm not sure why I listened, because was not the most popular shiur in Yeshiva University, but he was my father's Rebbe, and I had obviously great admiration for Rav Aaron. And I came the first day into the shiur. You have to understand, there was, you know, on a good day, 8 people, so he knew you were there. And when the shiur ended, the moment the shiur ended, Rav Aaron turned to me and says, "Nu, how did I do? Nu, how did I do?" And I'm like, "What? What?" I was so scared. And he said, "You're trying out the shiur. How did I do?" I'm always looking for new students. 80 years old, he's worried about new students. And it happened to be a shiur topic involved Lashon Hara and things I actually understood, you know, maybe 30% of the shiur. And I said, "How am I going to sit in the shiur? I have to be Amel." Baruch Hashem, someone came up to me. Yisrael Balzam says to me, "I'll learn with you. You'll be my chavrusa. I'll teach you, you know." He didn't say this, but I'm telling you, the 80% you don't understand. I was Amel. I was Amel, not just so I could tell my, you know, girlfriends, you know, when I started dating for Shidduch, who's not one Revaren Salvation here. No. So I could be Amel in the Torah. It's not easy. That's the Torah. That's the Kenyan of the Torah. Every year, you're kind of the Torah. You're sitting here now and you're complacent. You say, "Well, I'm in Shana Bet. What do I have to do? I'm perfect." You're listening on Why You Torah and you say to yourself, "But I do Daf Yomi." Do more. God created you to just grab onto the Kisei HaKavod with all the negative traits that you may have. All the difficulties, all the ways that they don't want you to learn Torah. Person's a good says, "You know what? I'm going to go on to Why You Torah. I want to listen to a good shiur. I want to go to Torah anytime. I want to go on to YouTube and I want to watch a good shiur." But then the ad comes on right before the shiur starts, and you say, "Ooh." So I'll just watch a little bit of this, I press it, and you watch it, and 14 hours later, and you haven't gone to Shacharis Mincha Ma'ariv, you realize you never watched that shiur. It's horror. It's horror. You go to shiur, and your rabbi teaches you, and you leave shiur, and you say, "Okay, I understood a little bit of it." Just finally, I apologize, as usual, my... Way back when, this used to be a 20-minute shiur. I forget it. There's a story told about the great Rav Mordechai Shadron, the Magid of Yerushalayim. Rav Krohn writes a lot of books about him. He says it was snowing like crazy outside. Snowing like crazy outside. Which is not common in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. Last week they thought maybe, not so much. And in the middle of the night, he finally figured out Chiddush Nifla Ad Ma'od. He was so excited, he started dancing around his house. He says, "Who am I going to tell?" But it was late outside. And he says, "Ah, my brother-in-law, Shlomo Zalman Arbach." So he starts walking, not so close, walks over to his house in the snow, probably doesn't even realize it's snowing outside, and knocks on the door of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. I mentioned to you it was late outside. Shlomo Zalman had great covet for his family, specifically his wife. I'm told, Mampiedus, from Talmidim of his, that before he would enter his house, besides the fact he would knock first, even though it was his own house, not to scare his wife, he would make sure his hair was straight, was perfect, every single time, to present himself appropriately to his wife. Something to think about, Rabbi Yisai. He opens the door and he sees his brother-in-law. He says, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem." He says, "Let's walk outside," because he didn't want to wake anybody up. He says, "I got to tell you this." And they stood by a bus stop, and it was snowing like crazy outside. And he tells them over this Chiddush Toys. I couldn't sleep. I had to tell it over to someone. And they danced together. Then the snow stopped and they took the trek back. That's a Melos Batar. I can't sleep. I tell a story about Rav Soloveitchik. He asked a question in Shir. And somebody answered it with a better question. And he says, that's a big problem in the Shir that I gave. Shir's over right now. That's it. He ended Shir in the middle because it was such a good question. I don't remember exactly the time, but it was very late, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. He figures out the answer. Calls one of his talmidim and says, "No, tell the Shir to come back. Everybody come back." He's like, Rebbe, yeah, so we're in YU and it's 1 in the morning, and despite the fact we all know everybody's up, but they're not coming to Shir. He's like, what do you mean? They must be like, how can you live? How are you able to continue? You think I ate lunch? I couldn't eat lunch. I couldn't eat dinner. This was a great question he asked. Everybody must be the same way. Now they can go to sleep. You don't think like that. That's what we have to think of. We should be zeicher to be mekabel the Torah anew every single day. And certainly this Shabbos, Habaleinu L'Torah v'am Tu B'Shvat, reminding us of what we could accomplish in Mirtz Hashem. We zeicher to only good things. With Yeshua's Nechamas for all of Klal Yisrael, for all the Cholim specifically. But Hashem should give him refuah shleima. We should zeicher to see Mashiach Zakein. Amen.